Imagine living in a world where you're constantly told to be positive, yet this very pursuit makes you miserable. This paradox sits at the heart of what makes life both frustrating and fascinating. We chase happiness directly and end up empty-handed, like trying to grab smoke. What if everything we've been taught about happiness is backward? What if embracing problems, rather than avoiding them, is the key? Life isn't about eliminating suffering, but choosing which suffering is worth enduring. The marathon runner and the couch potato both experience discomfort, one from physical exertion, the other from stagnation and health issues. The difference? One suffering leads to growth, the other to decay. Think about your own life. Are you choosing your struggles consciously, or are they choosing you? The quality of your existence depends not on avoiding problems, but on having good problems, challenges that align with your deepest values and move you toward meaningful goals. We live in an age where everyone is told they're special, destined for greatness. Social media feeds showcase extraordinary achievements while hiding the ordinary moments that comprise most of life. This creates a crushing pressure. If you're not changing the world or achieving remarkable success, you must be failing. But here's the liberating truth. Statistically speaking, most of us are average at most things, and that's perfectly okay. Think about it. If everyone were extraordinary, then extraordinary would become ordinary. The cultural obsession with being special creates a fear of mediocrity that ironically prevents genuine growth. Remember Jimmy, who believed he deserved success without effort? His entitlement stemmed from unresolved pain he compensated for with an inflated self-image. Sound familiar? True self-improvement begins with accepting where you actually are, not where you imagine yourself to be. The most impressive people aren't those who believe they're special, but those who recognize their ordinariness and work diligently anyway. Consider Ray Kroc or Colonel Sanders, who achieved their biggest successes well into their 50s, not through innate genius, but through persistence. What if I told you that Dave Mustaine, founder of Megadeth, who sold over 25 million albums, considered himself a failure? Why? Because he measured his worth against Metallica's even greater success after they kicked him out. His metric for self-evaluation made happiness impossible, despite objectively impressive achievements. This illustrates how our values determine our satisfaction more than our circumstances do. If you value being liked by everyone, you'll forever be at the mercy of others' opinions. If you value material success above all, you'll never have enough. These values create problems that can't be solved. Good values are reality-based, socially constructive, and controllable. Honesty, innovation, vulnerability, curiosity. These values lead to action regardless of external circumstances. They don't depend on comparison or specific outcomes. What pain are you willing to sustain for what matters most to you? The answer reveals your true values, not the ones you claim to have. Imagine Malala Yousafzai, shot by the Taliban for advocating girls' education. She could have become bitter, retreated into victimhood. Instead, she chose to become an even more powerful advocate. This illustrates a profound truth. While we aren't at fault for many circumstances in our lives, we're always responsible for how we respond. There's a crucial distinction between fault and responsibility. Fault is past tense. Responsibility is present tense. You didn't choose your childhood trauma, your genetic predispositions, or the economic conditions you were born into. But you alone choose how to interpret and respond to these realities. William James, contemplating suicide at 30 after years of health problems and failures, made a pivotal choice to believe in his free will and take responsibility for his life. This decision transformed him into one of history's most influential thinkers. Modern culture often glorifies victimhood, creating what we might call victimhood chic, a tendency to blame others while neglecting those truly victimized. This blame-shifting mentality prevents personal growth and diverts attention from genuine issues. What problems are you choosing? What difficulties are you willing to sustain? These choices define your life. What if everything you believe is wrong? Not just slightly mistaken, but fundamentally incorrect? This unsettling question opens the door to genuine growth. Life is a continuous process of being wrong about things, learning from it, and becoming a little less wrong tomorrow. Our brains naturally construct beliefs, even from unreliable information. We're meaning-making machines, finding patterns everywhere. This isn't necessarily bad, it's how we function, but it requires us to hold our beliefs lightly. The more something threatens our identity, the more we avoid it, even if confronting it would improve our lives. Buddhism suggests a radical solution: kill yourself, not literally, but metaphorically. Kill your attachment to your self-identity. By releasing rigid narratives about who you are, you free yourself to act, fail, and grow without the burden of a fragile ego. Try asking these questions when facing a challenge. What if I'm wrong? What would it mean if I were wrong? Would being wrong create a better or worse problem than my current problem? These questions cultivate intellectual humility, the awareness that we know less than we think. Learning to ride a bike illustrates a universal truth. Mastery comes through trying, failing, learning, and trying again. The do something principle challenges conventional wisdom about motivation. Rather than waiting for inspiration, take action first, even tiny steps. Action creates motivation, not vice versa. Write one sentence when unmotivated to write. Put on workout clothes when avoiding exercise. These small actions often catalyze larger ones. Early failure can free us from fear of the unknown. Once we face the worst, we're liberated to take risks without the burden of expectations. Walt Disney, Steve Jobs, and J.K. Rowling all faced significant setbacks before achieving success. What small action could you take today towards something you've been avoiding? The act of beginning, however modest, often initiates meaningful change. Picture yourself at the Cape of Good Hope, waves crashing below. The proximity to death sharpens your senses, making colors more vivid, sounds clearer, life more precious. This isn't morbid, it's how mortality enhances our appreciation for life. Ernest Becker noted that humans fear mortality and create immortality projects to leave lasting legacies, whether through children, businesses, art, or religious beliefs. When these projects are threatened, we face existential terror. Death awareness gives life meaning. Without finite time, nothing would matter. Deadlines create urgency, mortality creates purpose. Accepting death, rather than denying it, allows us to live more authentically. What changes would you make if you truly accepted your finite time? What would matter more or less? The paradox emerges. By accepting our limitations, including death itself, we focus on what truly matters in our brief existence.